No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot, I'm not a stranger. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. And, hey, look, you know, last week you heard our show from Air Venture in Oshkosh. I had a blast. Got a lot to cover. A lot happened after the broadcast of covering what little I could cover as a one-man crew last week there in Oshkosh. But I got to thank Jim and Deb for taking me under their wing and helping us out as well. They were gracious hosts. But a lot to cover. And, Keith, you weren't there. Where were you, buddy? Come on.
I was working, and I was trying to be nice to my wife. You know, I still have to please her once in a while.
Okay, if you say so, I guess we'll... there's so many things I could say right now about pleasing your wife, but I think that would be inappropriate.
Well, I was just referring to the fact that I had been gone for 3 weeks, and so if I didn't
go home... So that's
how
you were pleasing her. I understand. I get this.
Yeah, see? you should have my life.
Yes, well, I wish. I mean, you're a jet setter. You're all over the place, you know. I'm going to Air Venture, hanging out with 500,000 aviators, and you're hanging out in St. Louis in a small little box teaching people how to fly commercial planes or something. Isn't that how it is?
Something like that, yes.
Okay, all right. Well,
I can throw a few other little things in there as well, but, you know, you get the picture.
Okay, fair enough. You were busy, I understand. And, you know, and I've never been to Air Venture, and I had to kind of get out there and, you know, mingle with the community, kind of get my feet wet, so to speak, a little bit more, right?
You did, and now you're going to know much better for next year when we all go, because that's the plan, and it's for all of us to go next year. You'll have a much better idea of what you want to do and how to do it.
Right. Well, and when it comes to how to cover Air Venture, the first tip that I will share with everyone is get a good pair of sneakers. That or a walker or some kind of electric-powered vehicle that you can use to navigate the grounds. That place is massive, and my feet are still hurting.
Did you use your AARP membership to help you get around there?
I don't belong to that organization. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why would I do such a thing? I'm way too young for that, first off.
Okay.
And secondly,
so instead of that, I would say a hovercraft instead of an electric wheelchair.
Okay.
I mean, it must be appropriate for the, you know, Air Venture here. Come on.
Yeah, surely they have those hover skateboards, you know, from Back to the Future 2 or something that I could use to skate around the grounds. I don't know. They got to come up with something. Because walking around Air Venture is insane. It is so big. And, you know, the geography-wise, comparing it to Sun and Fun in Lakeland, I must admit, we were right on target. Well, you know, I was told it was about, you know, Sun and Fun in Lakeland is about a third of the size of Air Venture. And I'd say that's pretty accurate. You know, now that I have walked the grounds, I literally did cover the entire show. Obviously I didn't see every single exhibit or plane or booth or whatever, but I did walk end to end of the grounds of Air Venture, and it is insanely big, really big. And a great workout. You know, it allowed me to have a couple extra coffees and donuts and things, and I didn't feel guilty at all. So in that sense, if you go with it with that approach, where you get a good pair of walking shoes, and you know you're going to work off some calories and stuff, hey, it's a great time. And,
you know, if you were a real pilot, though, you wouldn't have to even think about feeling guilty about having a cup of coffee. Because when you drink coffee black, there's like no calories in it. But when you drink them frou-frou coffee things, that's when you got to start worrying about your calories.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm my guilty pleasure is a frou-frappuccino every now and then. What can I say? Keeps me going. And, you know, it's just what I do. It's just me. That's
every morning.
Well, you know, in the afternoon. You know, it's an iced coffee kind of thing. They didn't have those readily available there at AirVenture. Actually, they did have some iced coffees.
Because this is made for real pilots, and the iced coffees that were there were to appease the wives that were there that really didn't want to be there.
Well, I noticed there were a lot of female pilots in the line for the iced coffee vendor. But I don't discriminate. I hang with all people. I love all people. So anyway, whatever.
So you were picking up a date in the coffee line is what you're saying.
No, I'm just saying I don't care if there's if I'm in a girly line or a coffee girly line of coffee drinkers coffee drinkers that are girly. It's one of those. But I don't care. It doesn't matter. As long as I get my caffeine fix, I'm good to go. It was necessary there at AirVenture, but just to keep, the energy level up, because there was so much stuff going on. Not that you didn't need more to inject any energy in what you were seeing, because, the adrenaline was flowing. But, when you're walking like 25 miles over the period of an entire day, it's a workout. It's like going to war in a way, or going on a huge hike. But there was tons of stuff to see. And a lot of technology is what really caught my eye. So many things that we got to delve into that I wasn't able to address last week. They were building a plane in a week. Did you hear about this?
I did not.
They actually, had this kit plane, which I'll get into that in a little bit. Went to Vans Aircraft, which is Jim was making his plane, and the company he bought his kit from. We talked to them at the end of the show last week, and great folks, and just an interesting, thing in the aviation world that I hadn't really delved into personally yet. And to see all these people making their own planes and actually see an exhibit there smack dab in the middle of AirVenture where they were making a plane in a week was just, it was just remarkable to see this thing develop. I mean, I was only there 2 days, so I was there towards the end of the construction of the plane, but they started it, on the first Saturday or Friday or whatever it was, and I was there on the following Saturday, so it was almost complete. They had I was there for the last 24 hours, and I was blown away at the fact that they'd put this together in a week. And I was like, wait a minute, if it only takes a week to make an airplane, why are we having so many issues with these things? What's the dealio? You know what I'm saying, Keith? Come on.
And that's not even a production line. It's just guys putting an airplane together in a quote-unquote garage in that particular instance.
Right, it was. And it was I would say it was comparable to a Cessna 152. I don't know. Do they even make those anymore? It was a smaller plane. It was smaller than a 172 Cessna. I don't recall what the kit was that they were building for this particular plane, but it's a very good trainer, they said. Do you have any idea how I'm describing that? Does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense to me, but I don't know which one it was. But, these guys, I've watched guys do this. I've never been able to do it myself. I just never have had the time. But I know a number of people that have done that. Jim, of course, my good friend Jim,
right,
is doing it himself. And I know a couple of other guys that have done it. I know one guy who did 4 airplanes in his garage. And he made these things not even from kits. He actually manufactured everything himself and built these things. And they all fly. And it's just a phenomenal thing to watch, the creativity and the ability to do this. And now some of these people will take years and years and years to complete it. So to watch it and be it done in a week is just fascinating.
It was. And actually, they had these little workshops set up around where they were building the plane at AirVenture. And I actually learned how to build a plane, or in another way to phrase it, I actually, pressed a rivet. I don't know what, I put a rivet into an airframe. So I know how to build a plane like this now. That's all you have to know how to do, right?
Well, that should be enough right there. That's all you do is think that you know how to do it, and let's just leave it at that.
He said, take this gun and this little pen, put it in this hole. Okay, put it on top of there, and he shows me where to aim, and he says, press the trigger. I pressed it, and it was like, all right, you've done a rivet. Here's a pen. And now I'm officially certified as a aircraft builder, I guess. I can add that to my resume now.
Okay.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever done a rivet?
I have.
Oh, I thought I had one up on you. Jeez. Okay, well, it was kind of cool, though. And, you know, the one thing they did explain to me about this, and I said, well, you know, I have put together models back when I was like 10 years old as a kid. I said, do I need any more skills than that? And they said, actually, not really. It is, you just got to put in the time to learn how to do this stuff, and it's like anything. Nothing's super complicated. It's just a matter of reading the instructions and learning these particular skills. Nothing's too difficult, and there's plenty of people to show you how to do it. So you ready to build a plane there, Keith, or what?
If I had some time, I'd love to do it.
More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Deep Water Cay in the Bahamas has been a hotspot for world-class anglers and Hollywood stars for over 50 years. They fly into Freeport or take advantage of the 4,000-foot private runway. So in as little as 20 minutes from Florida, you too could be experiencing world-class fishing, diving, paddleboarding, whatever your adventurous heart desires, Deep Water Cay delivers. So treat yourself like the star that you are at Deep Water Cay's private island resort in the Bahamas. Go to deepwaterkay.com. That's deepwaterkay.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Any of you boys seen an aircraft carrier around here?
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals, ftpros.com, the website to go to and learn how to fly. However, we're talking about, my adventure, at least, at AirVenture in Oshkosh, the largest aviation event in the world. Over 500,000 people headed out to this event last week or the week before thereabouts. And I did get some numbers from the show organizers. They were up, 3-4% thereabouts. So they had a good year. The Thunderbirds did their thing. That was who was performing, right? The Thunderbirds.
That is correct. Yep.
And they were impressive. The nighttime air show was mind-boggling. That is something everybody has to mark off their list. I got to tell you, it was one thing to see it at Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida earlier in the year. But to see the nighttime air show they do at AirVenture, that is very, very intense. It's just bigger, badder, and better, I guess. It's actually, believe it or not, Keith, the thing about the nighttime air show on Saturday night, and I'm talking about the second Saturday was the one I saw there. I guess he did the nighttime air show on Wednesday and Saturday evening. And I was at Saturday night. And, you know, I remember the one at Sun and Fun, which is like the kickoff of the aviation show season. And, you know, I don't know if you remember people telling us that this is kind of like the first outing of all the stunt pilots for the year, and they're debuting their new program, and you know, this is like their first public appearance for the season. Is that
right?
Remember hearing that?
Yeah, we heard that a lot at Sun and Fun.
Right, and the thing about that show I remember is it being very, very long. There are a lot of performances from different pilots, stunt pilots, and fireworks and things like that. It was good. But there seemed to be, I don't know, I think went on like 2.5-3 hours, it seems like. Do you remember that being long like that?
It was pretty long. I don't think it was 2.5 or 3 hours. I think it was probably more like 1 hour and 15 minutes. But
you think it was that? I thought for sure it was much longer. And I don't know. I just remember it being more performers and things like that. And some of them were really good, and some of them were kind of like, okay, yeah, I don't know. And I guess what my point is, or what I'm trying to get to, is that when we got to Air Adventure and I saw the show, it definitely seemed like a much more polished, clean presentation, that they had kind of worked out the kinks, and the flow of the show was, you know, one act after another. And it definitely seemed like they were well seasoned in their performances, and it showed in what they presented to everybody on site. Fireworks were mind-boggling. They ended with this wall of fire thing, which, oh my God, I mean, you would think that would set off all kinds of alarms, because, you know, I don't
you
know
mean
how
like
they
car alarms and stuff.
Car alarms, Homeland Security, you know, National Guard being pulled out. I mean, we're talking major fireballs are going off all over the place. I'm like, oh my God, they're blowing stuff up. This is insane. It looked cool. It looked so, so cool. And I got to tell you, whether you're into aviation or not, you got to go see one of these shows, especially if you can get to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and see Air Venture. And see their nighttime show. That was just impressive. And they did it during the day, too. They did the wall of fire, and, you know, like a carpet bombing type of thing. When the Thunderbirds were, I think it was the Thunderbirds when they were doing, actually, no, it was the Warbirds. They were doing their Warbird show, and at the end of the Warbird show, they did this carpet bombing thing and, like, blew up the runway. And I'm like, wow, that is intense.
Could you feel the heat off of it?
You feel the heat. You see it for, you know, a couple miles away. This thing's just a massive wall of fire and stuff. It just doesn't seem like it's, you know, it just doesn't seem like it's supposed to be allowed to happen. You hear what I'm saying?
Well, you know, the pyros, you know, they love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but, of course.
You know, but it does, it really gives you a real good sense of what, you know, being bombed really is like.
Yeah, well, you know,
we here in this country, yeah, we here in this country really don't know what it's like to live in, you know, say like Israel right now, or something like that. You know, where these people grow up with this on a daily basis. But you know, that's kind of what it's really like, and that's why they do that demonstration. Give people an idea of what it's like, and the people that have been in the military that have done those kinds of things. Can you imagine how devastating that would be if you see that across the street from you?
I wouldn't be very happy, I don't think. I would probably definitely file a complaint with my homeowners association. But I got to tell you, it is...
They would be no longer be there to accept the complaint.
Yeah, well, good point. You know, if they carpet bomb the right home in my neighborhood, I might not have a problem.
Yeah, because the homeowners association would finally be gone.
Oh boy. But anyway, it looked cool. You know, whether they do it to, you know, give you an idea of what it's like in other places of the world, maybe. But I just
thought
it was cool.
By the way, just so you know, the Air Force can get it there, you know, or the Navy pilots, you know, they can get it down to within 1 meter. So just so you know, if you want that house taken care of,
I know the people to call now.
Yes.
That's good to know. I appreciate that, Keith. But yeah, you know, so the pomp and circumstance, the shows that they have are really impressive. But of course, you know, what I was going there for was to see who was exhibiting, meet as many people in the aviation industry as I could, you know, hobnob with some of the people we've met over the last couple of years with AOPA, You know, and I did a lot of that and met a lot of great folks, for sure. You know, and this kit building aircraft stuff was just fascinating because that was a whole new world that I did not, you know, we haven't really, you know, flown into that stuff too much on Just Plane Radio here in the past. But talking to Jim, who's building his own plane, and then he introduced me to people at Vans Aircraft, and then I saw that, you know, aircraft in a week project that they put on at Air Venture. I mean, I was thinking, well, hey, maybe this is the way to go. You build your own airplane. You know how this thing's go. You know, you learn how this thing is put together in the process of building it. It's much more.
Or not.
What do you mean?
Well, if you're doing it, it may not be put together properly.
Well, no, I would learn it. If I was going to build a plane that I was going to fly in, you can bet your butt I'm going to make sure I'm doing it correctly. And I'm going to have someone looking over my shoulder, checking every single project that I have completed to make sure I got it right. But if you were to do that, you would learn a lot of the mechanics and the systems of the airplane that, you know, it might as well be a foreign language to me. And I could see learning that stuff along the way on a level that you just would not learn if you were just taking a plane and flying a brand new plane, you know, out of the box. It definitely would make you a better pilot any way you look at it from my perspective. Am I correct?
That's one of the reasons why we like to take folks over to the maintenance shop and when they have airplanes torn apart and let them see the insides. Because it's so important to know that. That gives you a much better insight into the intricate details of what the systems are and how they all operate.
Yeah, and it's more economical that way, too. So it's more affordable. We'll talk about that much, much more next, of course.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio, Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Whether you're gonna build your own plane or, you know, buy one off the lot, which, you know, I did a little bit of both. I had conversations with both of these segments of the aviation community at Air Venture last week. And I got to tell you, I am a bit torn now. I thought for sure that I would just want a plane right off the assembly line, ready to go, had a warranty, and, you know, because I know I'm going to wreck it in some fashion eventually. But then I thought, wait a minute, if I build my own plane, it's going to force me to learn all these systems way better than I could ever imagine. As opposed to a plane that's full, you know, put together for you. I'm a bit torn because not only that, they're like half the price almost. Some of these kits you can build and get just way more bang for your buck. You think, Keith? What?
Well, absolutely, because, you know, you're putting in the labor, and they don't have the liability of having them put it together because
that's
you're
the
putting
key.
It together yourself, so
yeah.
There's no liability.
No liability, so you don't have to worry about, they don't have to worry about you, them suing you, or what, how's that work? You know, we would sue them if we wrecked their plane, I don't know. It's all that legal mumbo-jumbo where lawyers get in and screw up everything. And since they're off the hook, if you build your own plane, I mean, you know, you know how you built this puppy, and if you feel comfortable enough to fly in something that you built, then I guess it's assumed that you have taken on that risk personally, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of people that can do that. And like you say, you got to have the time to put into it. You know, it's not like
right.
a one night a week type thing. Although that'll work, but it'll take you years and years to get it finished.
Well, wait a minute. They built a plane in a week, so all you got to do is dedicate one day. You know, you could spread that over 7 weeks if you wanted, but these guys did it in a week, so it can't take that long.
Key word there being guys.
Oh, well,
plural.
That's true.
We got to be politically correct.
True. So. It'll be the first time that we've been politically correct, but we might as well start sometime. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
That's the spirit. Keep them flying.
1, 2, 3, like a bird I sing, 'cause you've given me the most beautiful set of wings. And I'm so glad you're here today, 'cause tomorrow I might have to go and fly away.
Hey! This is Just Plain Radio. Gregor, co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Okay, we're reflecting on my adventure at Air Venture in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And by the way, I got to say that the area around Air Venture, I was really impressed, not just with the campground facilities. So if you want to come in there and camp and stay right on site, but even the areas around. You know, I was staying in Appleton, Wisconsin, right by the local airport, about, I'd say, maybe 20 miles away from Air Venture, EAA's museum and that kind of thing. And I zipped in and out every day with no problem. You know, 20-minute drive. Appleton, Wisconsin had everything you could imagine, every restaurant, store, and thing to kill the time and, you know, soothe your sore feet in the evening, you know, and decent hotels and everything. So I was shocked how easy it was to go experience not just Air Venture, but the whole area.
Did you try cheese curds?
You know, I did, actually, and I have marked them off the list, and that, I'll just leave it at that. These Wisconsin cheese curd things, I don't know. I don't know who came up with the idea of this, but I'm guessing they were drinking heavily at the time. I don't know. It could just be me. But I guess I'd fall into that category of not a fan. But whatever. You know, you mark it off the list, and you try anything once, right?
That's right.
Yeah. But, they taste as good as they sound. How about that?
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
Okay. All right. So whether it's kit-built airplanes or if you want to buy a complete plane, we had a great interview with the guys from Cessna last week on the show. You can go back and check it out if you haven't heard it already. Them talking about this new diesel plane that they showcased there at Air Venture, the JT1 or something. I don't know. I don't remember. Basically, it was a 172 diesel-powered plane. Does that sound right, Keith? They already had the 182, but they debuted, I think it was the 172 diesel-powered airplane from Cessna was debuted at Air Venture.
That is correct. It is a 172 with diesel engine in it.
Yeah.
It burns the Jet A.
Right. And I did try to, you know, I tried to work us a deal to get one of those. And he said, you know, here it is. It's waiting for you. All I need is a credit card. So I gave him your credit card number, Keith.
Again?
Yeah. And, you know, it was declined. I don't know what's up with that, but...
Well, I told him any time that Greg uses my credit card, you got to decline it.
Oh, that figures. Okay.
That's why.
Well, anyway, they're getting ready to, sell these things or... You can start ordering them, I think, real soon, I believe. And then the 182 should be available shortly thereafter, they hope. They're working on the certification process of these planes. But impressive technology, very economical to operate because of that Jet A fuel. And, it's interesting technology that is, coming from them and other folks as well. So there's a lot to choose from and a lot of changes that seem to be coming down the pike very quickly. Are you seeing that from your perspective, too?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, for flight school, that really helps us out a lot because that diesel engine burns about half the fuel. It burns about 5.5 gallons an hour versus 10 gallons an hour
right.
for a normal 172. So the cost savings, you know, that we, as a flight school, we can have the ability to pass that on to our customers if we end up getting one of these airplanes. That's what we like to see.
Yeah, well,
we need to get the cost of aviation down.
Well, that will help for sure. And I asked him, I said, does this have the FADEC on it and the whole thing? Oh, he goes, oh, yeah. I said, that is like a Greg Proof airplane. There's no run. You just press a button. It does all the run-ups for you and everything. And I'm like, you know, I'm liking this. You're dumbing down the technology for people like me. And I really appreciate this. So, you know, it may be great for flight schools, but I'd say it's good for the average Joe, too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this technology is always great, the advances in technology. But again, you have to go back to what Ed and I like to preach, and that is you have to know the technology in order to be able to use it to its full potential. And as long as you can do that, man, it is absolutely fantastic.
Well, there you go. Now, that was, you know, some new production planes, Cessna. You know, they made their debut. There was a couple other diesel-powered airplanes out there that I saw, too, that I got to do some more research to find out where they were coming from. I brought the brochures back with me, but haven't had an opportunity to catch up on them just yet. But another one that caught my eye, and I've read about this and seen the press releases, was this Icon aircraft. Have you seen this thing, Keith?
Have you seen it? I have not.
All right, so this is a, you know, an amphibious airplane, which so is a plane that can land on the water and on wheels. So that's amphibious, right?
That is correct.
So a water only craft is what? Is what
seaplane?
Seaplane, right? Okay, so that's it. So it's amphibious, and this is like a 2-seater plane that's designed to be economical, easy to fly, and very safe, you know, more stable than planes comparable. These guys that are behind this are out of California. These guys that are making this thing called the Icon, they're very close, I believe, to getting the certification from the FAA on this plane. And they've been fighting, I don't know if fighting's the right word, but they've been working with the FAA over the last year or two to try to get this thing certified to go into production, I guess. And I guess they're very, very close. But they've been frustrated because the FAA has been taking a lot of time or taking their time getting certain things approved. But they're finally making some progress. They had an impressive display at Air Venture. And I was watching the videos of this thing. And a lot of new technology has went into this plane to make it almost, extremely difficult for it to go into a spin or stall. The way they've designed the wings and the pontoon or I don't know the bottom weight,
the hull,
there you go, right, that's what I'm trying to find. But
you do a boating show?
No, I don't bother with that anymore. No. Yeah, I do, but it's the hull and just the weight shiftment or you know where they've put the passengers and the balance and all that kind of stuff has made it very, very stable. And they actually compared it to a plane. I believe it might have been a 172, and they put the 172 in a stall right with it and compared the two, and they pretty much could stall this airplane. It would correct itself before actually going into a stall spin. You'd see the other plane, you know, fall off, and it would still be going, and then when it finally did stall, it just fall down straight and just go. So it was extremely forgiving airplane, and that's the market they're going for, to make a trainer that is just super safe, very much more economical. Price point supposed to be lower than comparable things that are out there now. I don't know. What do you think? Could this be a game changer maybe, or will it just come down to price? What do you think?
Well, you know, if somebody can build a quality aircraft that can withstand the banging, if you will, of a new pilot learning how to land,
right,
and they can get the price point there, it's gonna sell.
Well,
guaranteed.
The banging of the landing would just be on the water.
Well, you said it's amphibious, that means they're going to learn how to land.
Well,
on
I guess
the land,
you,
and
yeah.
In the water.
Yeah, I don't know. Wait, would a plane like that be more forgiving? It'd be tougher, wouldn't it? I would think, because the landing gear on those amphibious type of things, Are they tricky, or have you ever tried to land or fly one of them things, or no?
I personally have not.
Yeah.
Ed has, so that would be a question for him. But,
yeah.
I would think the landing gear is perfectly fine to do it. And if they're designing the airplane to be a trainer, they've
right.
got to have that in mind, especially
well,
if they're
right.
getting the stall characteristics.
Yeah, I guess, you know, because the wheels seem smaller than what you'd see on a typical tricycle type of craft, I guess it just looks different and looks less forgiving, but I'm sure you're correct. I mean,
it looks cool, though.
Yeah.
The only problems that I have with something like this and using it for training is, you know, somebody gets their private pilot certificate in an airplane like that, mm-hmm. and then they go fly a 172, and they're not going to know how to stall the airplane.
Well,
you know, that's where it's really important for the instructor who does a checkout to really take somebody up and show them how to do a stall and show them what the airplane is going to do. And I know a lot of people out there really balk at having to be checked out every time they go someplace new to rent an airplane. Man, I've got 3,000 hours in a 172. Why do I have to get a checkout? Well, because you're flying a different airplane, and the insurance companies really are the ones that run this industry. But you want to really know how that works, and that can take away from the real skill of flying an airplane if you've never stalled one before.
It's the Icon out of California. We'll get more on it as weeks progress here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
Spread your wings and fly away. Fly away. Far away. Pull yourself together, cause you know you should do better. That's because you're.
I wonder if this Icon plane, Keith, could be a way to be free. Just another way as an aviator that you get into this and find a more economical way and just a easier way to get into being a private pilot. And that is the market they're going for with this airplane. Not only is it supposedly more stable, you know, you can land on a lake or water and, or a runway. This thing is actually, once you get it down on the ground, the wings actually fold up. You can like dislodge them and fold them back towards the tail of the airplane. So it's it would fit in your garage, like a home garage. You wouldn't even need a hangar for this thing.
Well, that would save you tons of money as it is.
You know,
because hangars, boy, they can be expensive, depending on what part of the country you're in.
Yeah.
But, you know, not only that, now, can you drive this thing too or no? Or is it
No, it's not a flying car. It just it flies on the water. You can land on the water, and you can land on a runway. But I guess you could tow it. I mean, you know, with the wings being the fact that they fold back like that, you could put it on a trailer and actually you could tow it, you know, like on a flatbed type of thing.
So I wonder if it'll fit on my motorcycle trailer.
You know what? It's not really that long. It's not a huge, huge plane by any stretch. I mean, it's kind of interesting. I guess they took this concept and literally have built this plane from the ground up. So it's not like built on some different, you know, idea, and then they've said, well, let's modify this. These guys who've put the Sycon plane together have evidently, you know, this was a concept that they came up from, and they built all the systems specifically for this particular plane. So it is a whole new ballgame. That's not happening very often in the aviation industry, I'm guessing. Is that true? What do you think?
Well, no, it's not. Now, I do see that, you know, I'm on their website right now, iconaircraft.com. And I do see that they've got a parachute as well, which that, of course, is not new. That's coming from Cirrus.
Right.
But, you know, that just adds another level of safety to it.
Yeah.
However, I wonder if the chute deploys on this aircraft, if it ruins the airframe like it does on the Cirrus.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't ruin the airframe, I don't believe. You have to repack it and everything. It has to be reloaded, but it doesn't ruin the plane altogether, does it?
On a Cirrus, yeah, it
does it, really?
The airframe is going to be gone.
Well, don't tell my uncle that. He just bought one.
Oh, okay. I won't
tell
him that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know he has to have it. Maybe I misunderstood him because he did tell me that his that he bought, he goes, The only downside with that parachute thing, too, is you have to have it reloaded every year. Like, it's kind of, you know, under a certain type of pressure or whatever, so they have to be reloaded, I don't know, like a parachute or tested or something, or recertified every year. Does that make sense? Maybe?
Yeah, it's part of the annual inspection.
Yeah.
But where it comes out on this Cirrus, and it actually comes out, it blows a panel out, and so that's going to weaken the airframe, and so... That's what I was told. I don't know that for a fact.
Well, I'm sure it can be, like anything, it can be fixed. It's just a matter of how much it's going to cost you. So, you know, who knows? But yeah, this one, who knows? It looks very interesting. It looks like it'd be a hell of a lot of fun to fly. And, you know, we've talked about what I'm looking for in a plane eventually, or why I wanted to become a pilot in the first place, was to be able to fly to some places that I like to go scuba diving in the Caribbean. And, you know, the thing that this is a seaplane, and, you know, it's kind of small and limiting on payload and that kind of thing, because it does go in, I think it's in the light sport aircraft category, I believe that's what they're going for. I could be mistaken. But, I mean, it obviously isn't designed to carry a huge amount of weight. You know, it's two-seater. Maybe you can get that and some scuba gear in there if you're lucky, and go out there and fly this thing off the coast of Florida and find a dive site on a calm day, land it, and jump out of your airplane and dive off of it. Then that would be an amazing little, that would be a fun little airplane to have. You hear what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. And then, you know, just take it into the other aspect of it instead of using it for that, but just during your training. If you ever have an engine failure, you got a lot more options now to land.
Well, of course,
Putting it in the water is now an option for you.
Yeah.
And you know, in Florida, we've got water all over the place.
This is true. And putting it in, you know, I could put any plane in the water. It's just a matter of will you be able to swim away from it once you do this? So, yeah, this definitely gives you some more options landing site-wise. So, you know, definitely something to watch. A couple other little tidbits to share from Air Venture. I met this guy who was just in a booth, you know, Sal, and I had actually seen him at Sun and Fun, but he had a simple device called the slide down. Have you ever seen these? You know, we got to have our tie downs for our planes all over the, you know, wherever you travel. You know, at the flight school, there's tie downs, and one of the problems I always have when I'm out flying the 172 or had a problem with was figuring out how to do those goofy knots. I don't know, what are they called? Bowline knots? Is that what we're, Ed tells me how to make those things to make it tie down properly?
Yep. With his, tie it down so that the knot actually tightens when it gets pulled on?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it's a bowline or something, but it's some, you know, thing. And I never can remember how to do it quite right, but I, you know, I get the hang of it slowly. But this guy's created this thing called the slide down, and it's just a little tube that catches on the ropes. You don't have to tie any knots at all. It just catches automatically. You just pull it taut, and it catches. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Well, this sounds like a product for me. Should we get some of these? What do you think?
Well, why don't you buy them? We'll try them out. If they work, then, yeah, then we'll go ahead and get some.
I think they work. It was just a simple solution to a common problem. Great idea, and we will. I'll get some of these and see if we can work them. Slide Down is the name of the product, slidedown.com. All right, that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site for Morbid.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at justplainradio.com.